Come on, are y'all excited to be in the house of the Lord today?
Yes. We
cannot wait to see what God is going to say, going to do, has already blessed us and ministered to us through the hugs, the singing, just being in the presence. Amen? And so I'm thrilled to see every single one of you here today. If you could turn with me at this time to your Bibles. Did you read your Bible this week? You know where your Bible is? Is it in the back of some, is it in the bottom of some bag that you haven't used in a little while? Just a reminder, pull it out of that bag. I heard a preacher say, I bet your phone is closer to you at night than your Bible is. Ooh-wee. I bet you reach for that more than you reach for your Bible, he said. I said, ouch. Oh, he hurt me with that one. Deacon Owen said, well, my Bible's in my phone, so it's one and the same. Yeah, but how many times you pull out that app? Yeah, we know. Okay, so we are, if you're in your Bible or in the app, we are in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John. The fifth chapter of the Gospel of John. It is on the screen for your worshiping convenience, but there's something about looking it up yourself. Amen. John 5, we're going to be reading from the second verse to the beginning of the ninth verse today. We are beginning a series. As you know, we have selected our new theme, our theme for 2019. It is Arise, Walk On, Walk Forward from Isaiah 40. Arise, Walk On, and Walk Forward. And so we're going to be beginning a series. Somebody say series.
Series.
Where we are going to be studying those concepts. And today we are studying how to arise. How to arise. From the powerful text that the Gospel of John brings us about how Jesus helps us rise up. John 5, verse 2. When you got to say amen.
Amen.
Y'all sound good. Please attend with me to God's holy word. And it reads, now in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, there is a pool. Somebody say pool.
Pool.
Called in Hebrew, Bethesda, which has five porticos. And these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man, somebody say one man, was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there for a long time, Jesus said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me. Jesus said to him, stand up, take your mat, and walk. At once, the man was made well, and he took up his mat, and he began to walk. It's so good, we got to read it one more time. If you could attend with me one last time, we'll start in verse 5. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that it had been there, he had been there for a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me. Jesus said to him, stand up, take your mat, and walk. Sisters and brothers, beloved of God, the Lord is saying to us today, it's time to stand up. Amen.
Amen.
In 2015, R&B artist Andra Day released a hit song, you may know it, called Rise Up. Anybody know it? She released this song and it quickly became a huge success because this song communicates through the mighty words that she has chosen to describe this concept. She says, I'll rise up. I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up. I'll rise unafraid. I will rise up in spite of the ache, she says, and I'll do it 1,000 times again. Do y'all know the song? And Day explains, Andra Day explains, she says that she wrote the song in a difficult time in her life, both personally and professionally. She wrote this song to remind herself and to remind those who listen to it. And I quote, she says, I wrote it to remind us to stand up. To stand up, because if you stand up, even though you're going through things, if you stand up, you can take the first step. And if you take that step, you can take the step after that. We know what Day means when she says, rise up. There is power in the act of rising up. We know, we feel it. And there's a power in the act of standing in spite of what is happening around you. There's power in that. We can feel it when we get chills in the crescendo of the song. We can feel it when we find the chorus of that song in our heads throughout the day, encouraging us, somehow lifting our spirits, even then when we're unaware of it. When Andra Day later sang this song, Rise Up, at the 2016 Democratic National Convention, it became the unofficial anthem of the Black Lives Matter movement. Day did not set out to write a song that could speak to such deep pain while at the same time staking a claim in hope. She didn't mean to do that, but these words, they served that role for people. They came to express for many the power of standing up even in the midst of what's going on. They came to express for many what's hard to say in a prose statement, but what can only be conveyed sometimes in music. There is power, this song tells us. There's something about this uncomplicated yet profound declaration of the human spirit saying, I will rise up. It speaks to us at a visceral level. This defiance, there is an indomitable hope that's native to the human psyche that is hard to express in logical statements, but somehow it comes across in this short phrase, I will rise up. There's power in the act of standing up. As Tiffany was telling us today, there's power in the act of when you say, you know what, I will stand up for myself. I will stand up for what's right. I will stand up from what has knocked me down. There's power in saying, I will rise. I will stand up. There was power in declaring this. This is a short phrase, but in it is communicated all the potential of the human person to refuse to have your existence defined by what happens around you, to assert yourself, to assert your value, and to assert your destiny. There is power in saying, I will stand. Jesus was a fan of this phrase, rise up, stand up. It's the same thing in Greek, gere. Jesus was a fan of this phrase. He says it 18 times in the Gospels. He tells people to stand up. He never tells anyone to sit down. He never tells anyone to get on their knees. He never tells anyone to give up or to accept things the way they are. He never once, that never once passes through the holy lips of our Savior. But 18 times he says, stand up. He's had to say it so many times because he knew it would be hard for us to do sometimes. He knew there would be times when circumstances would make it seem like it was impossible to rise, impossible to stand. Can you imagine how this phrase, stand up, egere, rise, this phrase, can you imagine how it sounded to the man that we meet today in John? Can you imagine the host of internal reactions that he must have had when Jesus said to him this phrase, stand up? Maybe you can't imagine because maybe many of us have been there before in a situation where this phrase rang empty to us. We did not think we could do it. The man we meet today had been in this condition for 38 years. Whew. And we don't know his name, but we feel like we know him when we read his story. He had been in this condition, in the condition that he did not choose, yet it dictated every day of his experience. He had been in this condition for 38 years. 3 decades and almost 4, every time a decade in his life turned the corner, he had the hope of grabbing onto something that could take away the ache and change his experience and cancel the disappointment. But then the decade would turn and he would look around and his life would be the same 38 years. He had the hope 38 New Year's Eves where he thought maybe with the turn of the calendar, maybe there will be also a concomitant change in my life. And when I turn the page on the calendar, I can turn this page in my life. But then New Year's Day would come 38 times and he would turn the page and the calendar would look the same as it did before 38 years. It was a long time. Of course, it would be hard for him to believe that he could rise up from this. Of course, it would be hard for him to believe that he could stand. It's hard to believe that you can stand after so long on your back. The Gospel of John, unlike the other Gospels, the Gospel of John doesn't call the wonders and the healings that Jesus did. It doesn't call them miracles. It calls them signs. Signs. And John only chooses 7 of these signs. John chooses carefully. John chooses these signs because a sign, of course, is something that points to something else. He doesn't call them miracles. He says these are signs because their meaning is not exhausted in the physical act that took place on that day. They point to a greater meaning. They point to a greater truth that Jesus is communicating to us. And John is trying to say through these wonders, these miracles, they are signs that point to something else. Jesus in this story was not just healing this man's legs, and John was not just trying to tell us about the incredible things that Jesus could do for the lives of these ancient people. No, it's a sign that points to something else. This was not just about this man's legs and getting them to work this day by the pool. It's about the many ways that we can find ourselves knocked down in life and having a hard time getting up. It's about the many ways that we can look around in life and realize we've been on our backs in a certain way for far too long, to realize that something went wrong and life has betrayed us. And in the jostling of the various crises and the disappointments and the things that didn't go as planned, as you get jostled by life, something in the shelves of your spirit got knocked off and is lying on the floor. It's about those times when we look around and we realize inside of us there's something that is not upright, that things fell down and some of even got broken, and we try to put them back together, but we look around and things have maybe even gotten broken when they fell. Our joy is lying there on the floor in pieces. Our peace is unrecognizable because inside of us it fell and it's cracked in two. It's this passage is not just about this man and his legs. It's about the many ways that we can find that life has knocked us down and we're having a hard time standing back up. Sometimes when life knocks you down, you can find yourself down for much longer than you expected. Whew. You can look around at the contours of your life and realize that it has been a long time that you are looking at the same scenery. You can look around and you can see things in your spirit and in your surroundings that look the same as they did calendar pages ago. You can look back over the weeks and the months, even the years of your life's calendar, and realize that you have been dealing with some things for far too long. Your experience does not look different. Life can deal us some blows and we fall to the floor because we need a second to breathe. But sometimes we look up and the round is over, but we're still on the mat. 38 years he was there. Sometimes we can say, oh, I've been down too long. So what do we do? What do we do when we find ourselves on the floor for too long? What do we do when we look around and we have been supine for too long? Well, we act a lot like this man that we meet in John. The first thing we do when we look around and see that we are in a situation for too long, feeling the same way for too down on our backs for too long, the first thing we do is we get so used to our mats that all we can see is the mat underneath us. We get so used to our mats, we even get a little comfortable in the lying down position, that all we can see is the mat, and we cannot imagine the ground that we could stand on outside of the mat. We get so used to the ways that we feel and the ways that we operate, even if it's the thing that we wish every day would change. We get so used to the way that our life is that we have a hard time imagining something different. We talked last week about the idea of confirmation bias, that when your reality is a certain way, even when you receive new information, what you will do is you will take that information and interpret it to support what you already think is true. This gentleman today that we meet in John, whose life has been the same way for how long? 38 years. Whose pain has not left him alone for how long? Whose mat is all that he saw, who cannot remember the ground around him, doesn't know what grass feels like under his feet because the mat is all he has known. He's gotten used to it. He received new information, but he couldn't take it in. He interpreted according to the mat that he was used to. When Jesus says to him, "Do you want to be made whole?" He doesn't hear what Jesus said, and says he takes this new information, holy stranger, that is saying something to him that's new. He doesn't interpret it according to what could be, or according to the look of power and authority in Jesus' eyes, or according to the tiny spark of hope that is still there. No, he takes what Jesus says and he interprets it according to the mat to which he has grown accustomed. He says back to Jesus, "Oh, sir, you don't seem to know how long it's been this way. Every time I try," you heard him say it. Maybe you recognize it because it sounds a little bit of like some of the things you might say. No, sir. No, Lord, you don't know. You don't know how bad it is, how long, how hard I've tried. I know you're telling me there could be something new, but all I'm used to is this math that I've been seeing for so long. I forgot what the grass looks like. Don't tell me about grass. Don't tell me about standing. Don't tell me about how it could be, because all I can see is how it is. We get so used to our mats that we can't imagine. And we can't imagine our feet touching the earth. We can't imagine what it feels like to look above 3 feet. We can't imagine what it feels like to feel different because of the 38 years that it's been that way. What else do we do? Well, just like the gentleman that we met today, what else do? We try things that don't work. Whew! We try things that do not work to fix the things that are aching us on the inside or the outside, to fix the things that we so deeply wish would shift, would change. We don't know how. We get frustrated. And so what do? We try things that hold no promise for us. This gentleman, he was at the Pool of Bethesda. Somebody say Bethesda.
Bethesda.
The Pool of Bethesda. Now, at the Pool of Bethesda, they believed that there was an angel that would come down and disturb the waters. They believed this because the waters would sometimes bubble up. Now, today we know this as what is known as a geyser. It's a subterranean stream that intermittently causes disturbances as the water. We know it's a geyser. They said it was an angel, and they thought, oh, it's an angel that comes and stirs the water. And if you get in at that time, this was a superstitious solution that had no promise for healing the man, but he didn't know what else to do, so he believed it. He had seen person after person get into the pool and come out the same way they went in. Yet he believed that maybe it could do something for him, because this is what we do. We go after superstitious and make-believe solutions that do not help us. He saw people go in and come out looking the same way. He saw people step in and step out, and nothing had changed. Yet he hoped. Yet he stayed there for 38 years trying this solution that held no promise for him, trying 38 times over and over every year to be the one in the pool. Yet it did not work for anyone, but he still pursued it. We can't blame him, because we try make-believe solutions all the time. We try things that hold no promise for truly healing us. We try things that don't make any sense, and we know they're not going to work, yet we try them and we try them. We try the bar. Sit there thinking that the culture tells us that if you make it through Friday and you take the edge off, then that will be joy, and that will be connecting with other people, and that will be peace. That's not peace. We know it. We know it holds no promise with us, but we try things like that because culture tells us, but it's a make-believe solution. We find ourselves at the office late nights trying to work our way through our pain. Woo! Working and working until maybe we think if we just pull all the pieces together and we keep it together on the outside, and we approve ourselves to somebody, I don't know, maybe ourselves on the outside, if we pull it all together, if we work through it, we work, but we know it's a make-believe solution. Work cannot heal you. Workaholism is, that's why it says aholism on the end, because it's a make-believe solution. It's not going to do. We try the accoutrements of success that the world tells us about. These make-believe solutions that people believe that if you make enough and you can make enough money to get the nicer car next year, then that'll be happiness. If you get the nicer apartment, then that'll be happiness. If you get the title, that will be peace. No, it's a make-believe solution. But we try it. We try it. We keep trying these things because we don't know what else to do. We're just like the man. And then the last thing that we do, and ooh, this is our favorite. The last thing, see, we know this man so well when he does this. We don't know his name, but we feel like he's our best friend. We know him when he does this because this is our favorite thing to do. When the possibility of new life comes near to us, when the possibility of things shifting, of us feeling different, of things not being the way they've been, of us getting up, when that possibility comes near, oh, we do this thing that we see the man do. We love to do. This is our favorite. We are so good at it. We respond with reasons why it won't work. Oh, we know him when he says this. Jesus says to him, "Do you want to be made whole?" He doesn't even answer the man's question. He doesn't answer what Jesus is asking him. Instead, he responds with the reasons why it won't work. This is our favorite thing to do. We are so good at it. I bet you have 12 reasons in your head right now about why you will continue to feel the way that you feel, about why your life will stay the way that it is, about why the pain that maybe holds you back a little bit is just gonna be that way, about why you can't stand, about why it won't change, about why you are the way that you are, and that's how it's gonna be. This man, he said, Jesus, you don't seem to understand how long I've been here, and every time I try this stuff, but there's no one to put me in the way. He responds about 12, 13, 14 words. Jesus asks him a simple question, but he goes on and on about why it won't work. Who, we know this man. We know him because that's just like us. We know him because we got all the reasons in the world why this dream won't work. Oh, well, because my finances, I don't have the money for it. And then the education, I don't have the title for it. And then, you know, I'm not so young anymore. And we're given 12, 13, 14 words when all Jesus said was, do you want to be made whole? Why our marriage will stay the way it is? Well, because he's just like his father. I know he stays at work all day long, but you know what? His father did the same thing, and I should have known when I married him. And you come to think of it, my father did the same thing. So maybe it's a pattern. My therapist said, I'm just living into a role. Oh, you got reasons why it won't work. And Jesus is coming and trying to interrupt our reasons. Jesus comes in and says, I know what you think in your head. I know how you're saying. I know your lengthy explanations because I know you. Whew. You don't know me, but I know you, and you don't know me, but I've been watching you. My eyes have been on you. I've seen these 38 years, and I know you. I know you got these reasons, but I'm trying to interrupt you. Jesus is trying to interrupt him today, but he doesn't let him. Oh, this is us. I can feel that in some of our lives, Jesus is trying to interrupt us. Interrupt us from the places we've gotten used to. Interrupt us from the things that we try that do not work. Interrupt us from the lengthy reasons and explanations that we give as to why our pain will not be resolved, as to why we cannot stand, as to why it's always going to be this way, as to why this is who we are. Jesus is trying to interrupt us, but sometimes, like the man whom we know so well, we don't let him. We don't let the Lord get a word in edgewise. You ever seen yourself do that? Talk so much the Lord can't get a word in edgewise. Just talking, talking, talking. God's trying to say something to you. God's trying to change things. God's trying to shift us. We don't let God interrupt us sometimes. Ooh, these holy interruptions. We don't know that, like the man we meet today, everything could change in one day if we just let him interrupt us. We don't know that, like this man, we could get up after we were down for so long, 38 years, if we would let the Lord interrupt us. Oh, we don't know. And so we just keep talking. We keep talking. We keep doing the same. We don't know that we could get up. Whew. We don't know. Jesus tries to interrupt him, and Jesus asks him a very important question today. A very important question. Jesus has something to say. Ah, but just like us, he won't let him in. Jesus asked him a very important question today. Maybe you heard it in the text. Maybe you heard the Lord speaking it to you when Jesus asked. Jesus said, do you want to be made what?
Whole.
Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? This is a critical question. Do you want to be made? I didn't ask you about why you think you can't. I didn't ask you about how you got on the ground in the first place. I didn't ask you about the 38 years. I've been with you every day of those 38 years. That's not what I asked you. I asked you, Jesus says, do you want to be made whole? I can feel Jesus asking us this today. I can feel in some of our lives, Jesus saying, I know you got reasons why it's hard. I know you got reasons why you think it won't change. I know you got reasons why the pain has been there, and I hear those, and I get it, Jesus is saying. You don't know me as well as I know you. But I got a question for you, Jesus says. I want to help you get up. I want to take that life that you have and turn it into the abundant life that I came to give you. I want that. I can. But first I need to know, do you want to be made whole? I can hear him asking that to us today. I feel the Spirit of God saying to some of us this morning, do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want the marriage that you signed up for, that you looked into their eyes? And do you want that? Do you want the life full of the dreams that you said you want? Do you want to live the life I designed you to live? Or are you more comfortable in the cloak of your pain that you have gotten used to? Do you want to be made whole? Oh, it's an important question, but we don't let Jesus interrupt. Oh, this question. Do you want it? First, he needs to know, do you want it? Don't worry about how. He can handle that. Woo! He can handle that part. He needs to know, do you want it? Do you want these 38 years, or do you want year 39 to be different? Do you want the mat, or do you want to see what the grass feels like underneath your feet? Oh. Do you want the comfort of lying down, or do you want to see what your legs look like when they work? Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want to be made whole? Oh, it's a powerful thing. This man, he doesn't let Jesus interrupt him, just like us. He doesn't even answer Jesus' question. How rude. Jesus goes all this way to the pool, got stuff to do, but he stops for this one man. There's a whole lot of people around. He stops for this one man like he stopped for us. Ooh. He stops and gives him his attention, his time, his holy touch. Man doesn't even answer his question. Ooh. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I am so glad that the Lord doesn't give up on us when we don't answer his question. I'm so glad that the Lord doesn't give up on us when we ignore what he's saying. I'm so glad that the Lord doesn't give up on us when for 38 years we stick in the same thing and we refuse to change and we don't hear his interrupt. I'm so glad that the Lord doesn't give up on us. Oh, the Lord does not give up on us. Did you see it in the text today? The man ignores his interruptions. The man does not answer his questions yet. Yeah, Jesus doesn't stop engaging with him. Huh? Jesus says, I know what's going on inside of you, and so I'm not done with you. Woo. He says, I'm not done, and he does not give up, and he keeps going, and he says, I know you don't think you can do it. I know you don't think it's possible. I know I've seen you get used to the mat. I've seen you try things that don't work. I've seen it. I've seen you sit there and tell me all those reasons and tell yourself that long litany of why. I've seen it. I've heard it. Oh, but I know something that you don't know. I know that you're stronger than you think you are. I know that there's more power in you than you think there is. I know that it's been too long. I know that this is not the way that you were designed to be. I know, and this is not the way that I want you to be. I know, Jesus says, I know how long you've been there. I know, and I know it's been too long. And Jesus says to him today, it's time to stand up. Oh, it's time to stand up. It's been too long that you've been on that mat. I want to show you what the grass feels like. He says, it's time to stand up. It's time to stand up. Jesus is saying that to some of us today. I've seen you. You might not chat about it at church, the things that are on your mind, because some things you can't put into a 3-minute conversation. You might not chat about it even in a longer conversation. Some of those things, the only thing you got is those groans too deep for words. So the people around you might not see you, but Jesus sees you. And Jesus is saying to some of us today, it's been too long. It's time to stand up. It's time to stand up. It's time to stand up. You can do it. I know that there's more in you than you think. And you know, how do I know? Jesus says, how do I know? Because I know the one that made you. And I know that one does not make faulty products. It's time to stand up. 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 We were designed to stand up. Jesus tells us today, it's time. There's something very important. Did you notice in this text, Jesus' desire, Jesus' will is that the man would stand. Jesus wants him to stand up. We miss this a lot. We get this idea in our heads in church of the long-suffering servant, right? It's our cross to bear. Oh, this is just, maybe we're just designed to be on our knees. Maybe because of what happened to us, we are not supposed to rise. This is God's will. We get this idea that we're supposed to suffer and remain in a certain position. Let me tell you something. You know that passage about the suffering servant from Isaiah? That was about Jesus, not you. That was about Jesus, not us. God did not design us. Yes, there is pain in life. Yes, there are years that we have. So like we said, when you get hit, sometimes you got to visit the ground to catch your breath and get your breath back. But God is saying to us today, I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up. Come on, I want you to stand. It's time. It's time. I know you might, this might sound, you know, when we say, Jesus is saying to us, it's time to get up. There's a different life. There's grass that I want your feet to touch. There's something that your legs can do that you don't remember they can do. Ooh. I know it might sound like I'm minimizing it. Like I'm saying, oh, come on, champ, just get up. Like this is not so hard. Come on, you should be up. No. It's actually the opposite. It's actually the opposite, because did you notice in the text that there are lots of people who are suffering? There are lots of people with some problems, and some issues and some concerns. Did you notice there are lots of people? He's surrounded by a crowd of people, yet Jesus chooses the hardest case. Yet Jesus chooses not the one. He's not saying this to this man because it's easy. No, he chooses the hardest case. He goes around and chooses the one for the 38 years. He chooses the hardest case. Jesus is not saying to you today, get up because it's easy. Get up because you should already be up. Get up because there's something wrong with you. No, Jesus is saying, get up because it's hard. I'm choosing you because it's hard. And I know that you can't do it by yourself. I'm not saying your pain is small. I'm not saying it didn't hurt. I'm not saying it was fair. But I'm saying that with the power of the Lord on your side, you can stand up. Can stand. He's choosing you because it's hard. He's choosing you because what you went through is bigger than what anything you should have had to go through. He's choosing you because you can't do it on your own. But he is there and he's saying to you, it's time. It's time. It's time to stand up. It's time to stand up. That's why he's there, because you can't do it on your own. That's why he's saying, I know there's more in you than what you think, because you can't see it because the mat's been so bad. It's time to stand up. How? You might say to me, okay, how? But how? How do I do this? You know, I need something for Tuesday. When I wake up and my life looks the same and I feel the same way as Sunday now, this sounds good. They're going to sing a pretty song. But what about how do I do this? Okay, a few things. How do we do this? We got to stop romanticizing the mat. Got to stop romanticizing that mat. Sometimes we get on a mat. We got 38 years. We start to decorate the thing. We're doodling on the corner. We put some flowers up. And then we say, I hate this mat. Really? Because you moved in. We get so used to our mats. We get so used to the things that hurt us. We get so used to complaining. We get so used to our identity as the one who is suffering and who is in pain. Yes, those things are true. You can complain. But don't romanticize that mat. Kick those flowers off. You know why? Because you're not going to be there forever. Kick that flower pot off. Say, I'm not going to be here forever. This mat is not all there is for me. Not because I say so, but because I hear the voice of the Lord beside me telling me it's time. It's time. It's time to stand up. This mat is not the end. This mat is not where I'm staying. Woo! Got to stop romanticizing that mat. The next thing is, you're not going to like how it sounds, but you're going to like what it does in your life. The next thing is, it sounds a little rough and strict. The next thing is, but I'm telling you, it's a game changer. The next thing is, the next thing, how? How to do this? How to stand up? The next thing, obedience. Obedience. We don't like that word, but man, it's good news. We don't like that word, but man, the things that'll do. Obedience. 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 See, sometimes, a lot of times in our life, we say, I want to stand up. I want to live the life you have designed me to live. I want to go in the direction that you have for me, God, but I don't know how. Just tell me how. Give me instructions and I'll go. I find myself saying this a lot. God, I know. I know there's a plan. I know there's a way you want this to work. I know you have a plan for my hope and my future, and I'm looking for it. But God, first, I need to know how. Jesus did not tell this man how. He didn't tell him anything. All he said was stand up. Jesus did not tell him how. I'm sure he didn't understand how it was that his legs were going to work, how it was that things were going to get put back. Jesus didn't tell him how. All he did was say, do it. And the man, when he was obedient, not because he was waiting for proof that it would work, not because he was waiting on step 3, 4, and 5. No, he only had step 1. Because he was obedient. A lot of times we know what to do, but we take on the title of confused. We like that title. I'm confused. Girl, you chose that title yourself. That is not God's name for you. We take on that title of confused. We say, we don't know how. He's just saying, just do what I already told you. If we would just do the Ten Commandments plus the last podcast we swore we were going to implement, that's what he already told you. If we would just do the last thing he told us while we were reading scripture, if you would just do the last thing that God spoke to us, we would know how. If we stopped worrying about how and just worried about who is telling us to do it, if we just worried about doing what God said, we already know enough. Jesus said to this man, just do what I said. Just see if I'm not good for my word. Obedience. If we just do what we already know to do, we would know enough. God has told us enough. And I don't know if you saw in the text. I don't know if you saw that he didn't know how, but when he trusted enough, not 100% trust, just that mustard seed trust. He trusted enough, and he didn't know how it was going to work, but he pulled up one leg, and it worked a little bit better than he thought it would. And then he put it on the ground, and then he pulled up the other leg, and it worked a little bit better than he thought it was going to work. And I'm sure his gait was awkward, and his stance was uneven. But I don't know if you saw in the text that after these 38 years, after he thought it was just one way, after the mat was all he knew for all this time, with the Lord was on his side, he moved his legs, and things started to be different, and the man was able to stand. It's time to stand up. It's time to stand up. Not because it's easy, because it's hard. Not because it looks like you can do it, but because God is telling you it's time. It's time. It's time to stand up. There's a life for us that is different than the one we have gotten used to. It doesn't have to be the way. Sometimes we hold on to our pain, but God is saying, I got you and your pain. I'm holding it all. And you can stand up. It's time to stand up. It's time to stand up. I know you've been through a lot. I know I can't even begin to understand all the things that have knocked you down in your life. I know they don't fit neatly in a 3-minute conversation. I know you can't write it concisely on a prayer card and communicate it to us. I know you've been through some things that knocked you down. Jesus is saying, I saw it all, but I'm here to tell you, I got you, and it's time to stand up. Yes, even you. It's time, and you can do it. Come on, everybody, stand to your feet. Y'all see how I did that? Stand up, stand up. I preached this whole sermon just so I could use that pun at the end. Stand to your feet. I know you've been through some things. But we got to let God in. We got to let God interrupt us. Not because it's easy, but because God is trying to take us somewhere. And I know the pain can get heavy. I know it can seem like that's how it's always going to be. But you know what? Our theme for 2019 is arise, walk on, and walk forward. There's a reason that arise is first. There's a reason that arise is first, because you can't walk forward in your life if you're lying on your back. You cannot walk forward if you're in a supine position. In order to walk forward, you got to be what? Standing what? You got to be standing up. So it's time to stand today. It's time to stand today. It's time to stand today.